Happy Thursday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Here he is. He's looking good. He's fired up because he's got predictions, many predictions for this Buccaneers season to lay out, to put his gold Cadillac name behind on this podcast, which, of course, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We love them. Ira, we love you too. How are you?
Plenty of juice today, gentlemen, with T-minus 10. The countdown has started to the regular season. T-minus 10. This is like Apollo 13. We're going where no one's gone before, towards a playoff berth, the Kemper. You never know. You never know.
Is Apollo 13 where they got trapped?
I don't even remember.
You know,
could have
Tom
been the
Hanks
one that Gus Grissom blew up and burned up in the capsule. I can't even remember. But Apollo 13, that's the one with Tom Hanks. Yeah, that's the movie with Tom Hanks.
So who's trapped?
Who's
Cutter's
trapped?
Trapped? Light's trapped? What?
You name it, they're trapped. But you know what? Nothing a 10-6 record can't rectify.
Who's going to guide the ship back? Is it Jameis?
I believe Ed Glazer at the controls, gentlemen. All is well.
All right, Sage. All right. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper was that other voice. We are Joe of JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, you know what? I'm going to take you. We're going to drive in reverse today a little bit.
You can't shake me. I just had a couple of corn chowder. I'm in an outstanding mood right here. Of course, it was $4.99. I mean, for a couple? What's going on around here?
A little pricey at this
Come
place.
On.
Don't they know who you are here at Panera? Good golly. All right, Sage. You know, first, before we get to that, what's your deal this year? Fans want to see you on television, Fox 13. When can we see you?
Well, I got a big meeting as we speak on Thursday with the Fox crew, Scott Smith, Ricky Reynolds, the producer of Fox 13 morning show.
Morning show?
Well, it's the, you know, Sunday morning show about 10:30 in the morning. I'll probably do a hit before the game Thursday night, the big fourth preseason game. A lot to talk about, you know, especially for the ninth string tight end, and we'll see what happens. But it's all going to be determined in this meeting. They want, quote, an enhanced role for the Sage. You know what that means? It means an enhanced paycheck for the Sage. That's what it means. I start off with the Mad Dog next Wednesday, September 5th. I believe that is the day before the official opening, which starts on a Thursday night. The NFL, I believe it's what, at the Falcons and the Eagles, I believe?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everything I read, Carson Wentz is not going to be there. He probably won't be there for week two.
So Fox 13.
Things are breaking for the Bucs.
Fox 13, you're going to be the pregame show again, Scott Smith Tailgate Sunday. And I hear we're going to see you on the field in New Orleans.
And any other game on the field that you decide to send me, Mr.
All right, Sage.
But at least we know in New Orleans, it'll be on the field.
Now, is this meeting you're having? Is the lovely Vanessa, the traffic person at Fox 13, going to be there? Uber Rays fan?
You know, if I got anything to do with it, she's going to be there along with Jen Epstein. But I don't know how much clout I have at this point.
Great-great-granddaughter of Muriel Berkowitz.
I got a new sports coat, by the way. New, brand new.
So
brand
you're expecting new. Jen Epstein.
And I, you know what? I might unveil it. I might unveil it tomorrow night at the game.
All right, Ira, your podcast, everybody can subscribe. That means all season long they can get an alert when it posts. iTunes, where you are a superstar. Podbean, Google Play, where you've got legendary cred.
I've been knocked off my perch, Isbitz. Knocked off.
It seems, yes, your streak has ended again. Off the top 50 all genres podcasts at Google Play, but
with an explanation.
It appears. Now, there's no one that we call at Google to say what's going on with the Sage, but it appears multiple fantasy football podcasts have knocked you off the top charts. So my gut says this is temporary, Ira.
I can live with that.
Now, Ira, if you put up big enough stink about this, later tonight or tomorrow, you can go to Google and do a Google search on your name, and it will say, Google denies any impropriety of the Ira Kaufman's podcast.
There you go. Hey, we could do a fantasy podcast, too, just as easy as the next guy. But we're not going to do that because we're based in reality, not fantasy, and we talk about the 2018
Your
Bucs.
Fantasy is the girls you mentioned.
Never mind that. Never mind that, the Kemper. We know what's on Lee's mind this fine afternoon. You know, he's got women on his mind.
Food, women, and football in that different order.
You
pick your order.
He's got Lee Remick and Raquel Welch on his mind.
Oh, my gosh. We're going way back.
Way back. What do you got, Stevie?
All right, Ira, you know, let me throw you a curveball here with some things going on, not necessarily with the Bucs. Roberto Aguayo, I wanted to ask you about him.
Yeah, That is a curveball, my friend.
All right, so here we go. Mr. Aguayo, he was deemed to be in the lead with the Chargers kicking gig, and they signed the Eagles' old kicker, Caleb Sturgis, who got hurt last year and sort of lost his mojo as their number one kicker. But they've been battling, and then in the Week 3 preseason game, the Chargers didn't play Aguayo. Sturgis kicked off twice, kicked an extra point, and now nobody knows. This whole battle's going down to the last game. I wanted to ask you, you think Aguayo makes this? You think maybe the Chargers did this on purpose to mess with his head and see if he can really handle the pressure of not knowing if he made it? And how much will Bucs fans melt down if Aguayo has a good year?
Well, they won't melt down, Lee, you know, if Catanzaro gets the job done. They won't. And they won't be screaming about Matt Bryan either, you know, from the last 10 years. The guy might be going to Canton for all we know. But it's all up to this new kicker on the Bucs. If he's adequate and he kicks off well, which Patrick Murray did not do.
No.
And probably one of the main reasons Pat Murray's not on this team. Of course, he was a decent field goal kicker in 2017. This Aguayo story's interesting, though, Lee. You know, the fact they didn't use him for Week 3 probably tells me that he had done well up to that point, and they didn't need to see him anymore. They knew what they had. They weren't overwhelmed by him, but I think he made a favorable impression, and they wanted to give this guy one more chance, Sturgis. So I don't take that as a negative on Aguayo that he didn't kick in Week 3.
Well, you know, speaking of Aguayo, we hear the sirens
every
in the background.
Every time you mention Aguayo's name. Isn't that perfect? On cue here.
But no, Fred Norris couldn't have the sound effects queued up any better than that. Kickers are supposed to be, I don't want to use the term head cases, but they're flakes. Do you think the fact that he was drafted so high got into his head?
Yes, I absolutely do. You know, look, the guy was known for one thing, reliability. He wasn't known as Sebastian Janikowski going to kick 57-yard field goals all over the joint. Nobody expected that. Buck fans didn't expect it. But make a freaking 43-yarder.
Make an extra point.
Make it. That's what, you know, you're Mr. Automatic, Tallahassee. You never miss. And, of course, along those lines, there's Catanzaro. They didn't miss an extra point last year. First one he takes in a Buck uniform. By now, Buck fans think they're cursed. They think they're cursed. Nate Cazor, are you listening? Get the job done. Straighten these people out. Look, Catanzaro's rebounded well. You know, he'll kick again on Thursday night, I assume. And he's bounced back.
I hope he kicks again on Thursday night. One, because they don't have another kicker. And two,
well, it could mean they're shut out. You know, you don't even get to get the kick, but whatever.
Two, I thought it was interesting that Dirk Koetter signed a new long snapper after the last long snapper. Supposedly his snap wasn't very good on Catanzaro's second missed extra point last week, which sort of was a brushed over issue. You know, I don't know if they did that to maybe partially to not get Catanzaro thinking, oh, it's my fault, I suck. It was sort of a way of
acknowledging. I don't know why they dumped Sanborn to begin with. Steve, I thought
he
was pretty good. He's got a lot of experience, and thought he did a decent job last year. So I couldn't. I guess they thought they were upgrading at long snapper, but it might have backfired on him. Mm-hmm. So they got the same guy back.
That's an awfully important job, though, when you're trying to win football games against, you know, in tight games, which is the whole point. I don't know. I'm rooting for Aguayo. It would be too much fun to see him start nailing field goals left
and
right.
Who's lining up under center Thursday night? Who we got? Well, what's going on here? We're going to get a big dose of Ryan Griffin. What do we got?
I don't really care, but I'm assuming Ryan Griffin will play the first half. You know, and then they'll let the Austin kid, Allen kid, ride it out. You know, get him his face time.
No way you're seeing Jameis. No way you're seeing
Jameis. Well, I think Koetter's already announced
it. Koetter's
James
already
done.
Announced it.
All right.
It's one of the few definitive things Koetter said in the last 4 weeks.
All right.
No Jameis.
I want a 10-second response. Luke Stocker, Kevin Pamphile look like pure locks to make the Tennessee roster.
Oh, I'm pleased because they break the mold, because what do we laugh about on this podcast all the time? Guys that get waived by the Bucs, they're out of football.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the Anthony Collins. You're gone. You're out. Did I just see Robert Ayers get the pink slip, or is that going to be another question?
Oh, that was next on my
there
list. Robert Ayers is out of football now because he was signed by the Lions for one day and is out.
That makes the Bucs look bad.
One day. Man. Well, I think Steve's got a better one coming up.
Well, of course, Chris Baker's out of the league.
Oh, boy.
And Bengals cut him. Nobody picked him up.
Oh,
and J.R. Sweezy has a high ankle sprain in Seattle.
J.R. Sweezy is a high ankle sprain.
And he might not make the 53.
Now, I looked this up the other night, Ira. Jack Smith actually is not having a bad preseason. He's backing up, was it Chandler Jones, the great defensive end they got from the Patriots? Yeah, he's backing him. He's actually having a halfway decent preseason. Now, against, he's probably playing camp meet, but I think he's got, off the top of my head, six tackles, a tackle for loss, a sack. He's not embarrassing himself, but as I wrote in the story this week in JoeBucksFan.com, all these guys the Bucks banked on to start on the defensive line. You know, Will Golson was supposed to share time with Jack Smith. Well, Golson, look what happened to him. He's a backup now. You know, people are still, they can't believe, they thought they were hallucinating when they saw him get a sack the other night. And then you have Ayers, out of football. Baker didn't even make it to the third preseason game, out of football.
We can only hope that Vinny Curry, Mitch Unrein, and Bo Allen, you know, bowed out better than, you know, what we've seen from Jason Light in free agency on the defensive line. This is getting to be a joke. I mean, come on.
It's just interesting there. Three guys, Sweezy, Ayers, and Baker, might not be on rosters. They were supposed to start last year for the Bucks in the trenches.
I assume Michael Johnson's still a Bengal.
Michael Johnson.
But he didn't get a big extension like Dunlap.
But
he's not going to get that.
But, you know, to his credit, he hasn't missed a game since he got there when he returned.
But he's a non-factor.
Yeah,
he's been played pretty well.
The dangers of reading stories at 2 o'clock in the morning. I read a story, I can't remember where they projected Ghost Johnson to get cut very shortly because of salary cap, big contract. I don't know where JPP said this. I thought it was, I won't say the guy's name. I thought it was his Twitter feed, and if it was, he deleted it. But someone had quoted JPP as saying Brenston Buckner told the defensive line, name a Super Bowl champion that had a weak defensive line. You can't. And I'm thinking to myself, if the defensive coach knows this, how come the Bucks couldn't figure this out for the past decade?
Absolutely.
Good grief.
Steve, have you figured out, I know you're an investigative reporter at times. you get to the bottom of why JPP was in an ornery mood after the game last week?
I will answer that, and we will get to your predictions for the full regular season after the fantastic offers we hear now from our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Something big is happening at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Take up to $15,000 off all remaining 2018 Cadillacs. It's all going on now during the Big Win sales event. You can't miss up to $15,000 off new Cadillacs. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy, our good friend here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, and he'll take up to $15,000 off your next Cadillac. All the details are at the dealership. Get to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. That's edmorriscadillactampa.com. At Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, pick your car, now pick your payment. That's right, pick your car, now pick your payment. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website. You will see all kinds of incredible options there. They are right there on Causeway Boulevard for you in Brandon. So easy to get to. Beautiful dealership. Ira and I have been out there several times, and all new 2018 Cadillacs get 0% financing for up to 60 months, plus receive $2,000 down payment assistance at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. That's where you get it started, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. All right, Sage, and you know what? Special Labor Day hours at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Go to their websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com.
Can you imagine the Labor Day deals that they're offering at these two dealerships? Very, very enticing, Lee. Very enticing.
All right, Ira, to answer your question, no, I am not at the bottom of the JPP anger scandal. I will try to ask him. Maybe we'll try to track
him
down.
Maybe he was pissed off they lost the game, Steve. Maybe.
I was going to ask him, but he was on the phone at his locker the other morning, and he was talking to somebody. I thought it was a little weird, and I didn't realize he was on speaker. Next thing you know, you hear like a four-year-old's voice coming through the phone. Like, oh, okay, all right, never mind. I'm not going to ask him why you all pissed off.
Could have been his agent. What do you got for me, Steve? What do you got?
I got a segue for you real quick. You said this on the Morning Joe podcast.
Which is back now.
Thankfully. And to rave reviews. People are applauding. You can hear the applause in the streets at night. Steve, you need to recount the story about the fan, and not a human being, but a fan and Vinnie Curry.
Yeah, Ira saw it. We'll talk about that later. Definitely, definitely. I'm writing it down on my list here. We'll talk about the fan, the Vinnie Curry fan. All right, Sage, now we promised predictions, hard predictions, pitting the Sage against the wall. Lee and I will give our takes as well. But Ira, first we're going to start with not your season-long prediction, but I want three predictions for this season. We'll call them sub-predictions. We will say three things that you believe are going to happen with this Bucs season, either about a player or about a unit or whatever you want. But give me your three.
All right. I preface it by saying, Lee, this is brought to you by the man who said the Bucs were going to go 10-6 last season. Take that for a grain of salt.
Still honest.
Here we go. One, Peyton Barber runs for more than 1,000 yards.
He stole one of mine.
There you go.
He stole one of mine.
Two, by midseason, your starter at right tackle is Alex Kappa, not right guard. Something's going to happen to Dotson. Injury or ineffectiveness. Kappa goes to right tackle, which I believe is going to be his natural position going forward. Three, Justin Evans, not Mike Evans. Justin Evans doubles his interception total to six because of an enhanced pass rush. And he can gamble a little bit more. He's got good instincts. He's going to get a better break on the ball, knowing Drew Brees and the like have to get the ball out a little quicker this year. He's going to jump some routes. Six picks for Mr. Evans. What do you got, DeKemper?
Well, you took my Barber prediction.
Well, so then bump him up to 1,200 yards, DeKemper.
I'll have to come up with something else. Jameis will make the Pro Bowl.
Jameis makes the Pro Bowl. First, he's got to play more than three games over there, DeKemper.
The Bucs defense will be no better than 20th in the league.
Ooh.
No better than 20th in the league.
Well, that's going to certainly affect what prediction you end up making about him. And what do you got for number three? What do you got? While he's mulling that over, you might as well give yours.
No, let me say, I don't think it's fair to force Lee to change his prediction. He had his, we trust him that he was.
What was your original?
Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber runs for over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
So I got to come up with a different one.
No, Steve says you're fine.
I think he's good, but let's do it this way. You know what? Since you guys have that shared prediction, I'll give my three, and then we'll each give a bonus fourth.
A bonus,
like an
baby.
Honorable mention bonus call. So that'll be Lee's fourth. I've got one here. And Sage, you can dig into that veteran brain of yours. All right, here we go, Sage. Here we go. And then I want to corner you on these predictions, Ira.
Now, you're giving yours now, right, at some point?
Yeah, that's drum what roll. I'm doing right here. Drum roll. Okay. First, I got them typed up. I come ready, Ira. How about that?
I got them in magic marks.
Ira's got a green pen. First, I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson leads the Buccaneers in receptions.
Ooh. Whoa, that's way out on the line.
Well, let me say this. Last year, DeSean was 56th in the NFL in targets with 90. He missed two games. He was injured in a couple of others. They threw him the ball left and right, and Jameis did not have chemistry with him. But you know who did was Fitzpatrick, and I think Fitzpatrick will help DeSean Jackson get off to a good start. He looks really good. I think he'll be better with Jameis. And I think the drive to get Godwin on the field is going to have D-Jax playing a little bit more slot, and I think he's going to get those targets. So,
okay.
Of course, something like this gambles and maybe Mike Evans gets hurt, but I think DeSean Jackson's going to lead the team in receptions. Number two, the Buccaneers will let all of their unrestricted free agents go to the end of the year and deal with them after the season. The Donovan Smiths, the Marpets, the Quans, and the one I'm most happy about saying is JPP breaks the 10-sack barrier, the elusive 10-sack barrier from Simeon Rice, ditches the curse, and has a monster year, helping validate the whole Gerald McCoy impact, and JPP's going to be flapping about how playing next to McCoy has turned him into
an
animal.
Lee, I swear, when Isbett started out, JPP breaks, I thought he was going to say his right ankle. Before he attacks you and I, Lee, which he will, Let me zero in on his first prediction. I thought that was outlandish. Doesn't mean I don't think DeSean Jackson's going to have a good season. Lee, he's never been a high-volume receiver.
Mm.
Yeah, he's going to get more targets than he did last fall. And he's going to get off to a decent start because Fitzpatrick leans on him a little more than Jameis does. Jameis tilts a little more towards Mike Evans, with good reason. But to think that he's going to catch more balls than Mike Evans, I think that's a stretch, Lee. Hats off to Isbitz. If he turns out right. But I think he's really out on a limb with that one. Where are you on that one? I see him catching 60 balls.
I lean toward what you're saying, Ira. Jackson's going to have a good season, but Evans, he's a first down maker. And he's one of Jameis' favorite targets. I don't see that changing, unless he gets hurt.
Now, is he going to catch more balls than Ronald Jones? I give you that one, Isbitz. That one you get. Your other two are solid. Pierre Paul, If he doesn't get 10 sacks, I think it's a disappointing season for your Paul. I love his attitude.
Oh, yeah.
I love the passion that he's bringing to the table. What was your middle one against Steven?
They let all the unrestricted free agents ride it out.
I can see that. Part of that is there might be regime change at the end of the year.
I already have my replacement prediction, but
right.
I'll add another one because it's related. I was going to use this, but I don't think it fits because it's about the offseason more than the regular season. Of the three big free agents, Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, Quan Alexander, one of the three do not return.
They are allowed to hit the market.
One of the three will not return.
Of course, that begs the question, which one are you talking about?
Well, hey, look, usually injuries determine that kind of stuff, and yeah, it's a prediction. We're having some fun here, Sage. All right,
before, the one with the regular season.
Wait a minute, you need my bonus prediction.
Yeah, before I needle you on these other predictions and we discuss them, your fourth prediction.
All right, my fourth one is Levante David returns to the versatile stat form that he flashed, and may I use the name, under Greg Schiano and Bill Sheridan, and by that I mean, you know, four sacks, three picks, four forced fumbles, and all across the board. He had zero picks, zero sacks last year. That's not going to happen, Lee. That's not going to happen because of the D-line is going to give your buddy, Mike Smith, the flexibility to use Levante David in positions where he can make splash plays.
Now, Lee, did you have another prediction?
Yeah, the one that my replacement, Ronald Jones will not run for more than 550 yards. I think 550 is a cap. Already people at One Buck Palace are kind of murmuring that, you know, wait till the middle of the season, he's going to pop loose. Well, that's the case. You know, 500 for the second half of the season.
He's not going to have a Charles Sims 2015 season. That's what you're saying.
I can't remember. I tried not to think of Charles
Sims. He had 1,000 yards from scrimmage that year, gentlemen.
Exactly.
1,000.
Well, that balances Lee's other prediction on Barber nicely. My fourth one here, and I struggled whether to use this one or the JPP prediction, but I'm going to go negative here, and it's not going to feel nice, and I don't like doing this at all, and I'm not rooting for it. But as a prediction, I think this is Brent Grimes' down year. I think injuries are going to catch up to him. I think they caught up to him a little bit last year. 35 years old. That's my negative prediction. The beginning of the end for Brent Grimes.
And that's really going to hurt, Steve.
Yes.
Really going to hurt.
Yes, unless these other guys can step up. Justin Evans has the big year you're talking about. It can all balance out, but I think Grimes takes a step back.
Okay.
All right, Sage. Now, let me needle you on this one, Ira.
There's my predictions right there, Steve. You want to go 1, 2, 3. Boom, boom, boom.
You think that this team, after basically pushing Kappa inside and transforming him to a guard and making that commitment, the way this team has made commitments in the past to guys, that they're just going to kick him outside over Benenock, who at least has experience at right tackle?
I think they're going to realize that tackle is Kappa's natural position. Stop monkeying around with these guys. Stop moving Marpet to center. Stop moving. Kappa's never played guard in his freaking life over there. Oh, you know, the guy's a left tackle for the Lumberjacks. All of a sudden, he's a guard. Put him at right tackle. That right tackle spot, that's your power guy. Nasty power. Let Kappa do it.
What about Lidke?
Who?
I'm still
saying that Donovan Smith's got a chance to start in New Orleans. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I don't think I'm crazy.
Well, we predicted that already. Look, I said he misses two games. You said one game, but you think he's got a shot. Lee thinks he might be a long-term, couple-month guy.
All right.
So I'll say
and
this.
And what did he say in the locker room to you the other day, Steven? What did he say?
He said, I'm good.
Yeah.
First he goes, I'm not answering any questions. Then he said, I'm good.
And I think I put this on Twitter. Great story that Steve had. And I was Twittering this out. How do you define I'm good? What does that mean?
Well, the only interesting part of him saying I'm good was when he came back to the locker room afterwards, he had no brace on and was walking just fine. So he certainly looked the part, which, you know, if he had something serious, rarely do these guys without the brace milling around like that. So,
you know, speaking about the O-line, Steve, and opportunities, you know, the guy, and it's you can't fault the guy for an injury, Lee, but Benenock, he's unavailable. He had the job, and now he doesn't have the job.
They've given him so many chances to secure that job. And what you said is valid. You know, you can't knock an injury. But week after week after week, he's out there, and Cutter's basically you know, saying publicly it's his to win, but yet they keep having Kappa play.
And, of course, we don't know what the injury is till Cutter talks to the TV people. We don't know.
That's how it goes. And Benenac in the locker room was putting on a left knee brace to go out to practice.
Well, I don't know this. I'm speculating. You immediately said that it was Cutter that spoke to the TV people. How do we know this?
Yeah, we don't know that, Ira.
If I had to lay money on it, it's coming from someone else who has at One Buck Place who has a relationship with Bruce Arians.
Why do you always bring Ed Glazer into these conversations?
They sort of phrased it on the broadcast that it was probably coming for Cutter, but we really don't know that.
Okay.
So we don't know.
And well, I think you know who I'm talking about that has a relationship with Arians.
I do.
We got more. We got the big season prediction. But first, the easiest place to get your tickets for Bucks games is fanretreat.com. Now, there's a million secondary market sites out there. Fanretreat.com, they're owned by Bucks fans, so they're committed to having the best prices for Bucks fans. They make an effort to do that. There's a lot of wiggle room with these companies, and there's no bunch of hidden fees with your tickets with Fan Retreat. And you can use your Joe Bucks fan discount code at fanretreat.com. A great place to get tickets for all the Bucks games and home, road, any NFL game, any college game.
You want to go to New York later in the year? Bucks are going to play the Giants.
You want to go catch the Gators or the Seminoles or the Rays as they go through their attempt here for a playoff push. FanRetreat.com is where to go. Now, they are also the hosts of the Bourbon Street Takeover. Go to their website, click on Popular Retreats, and if you're going to the New Orleans game, even if you're not part of the Takeover, first, of course, you can buy your tickets if you don't have them yet at FanRetreat.com, your game tickets, but you can also sign up for the retreat and join the night before party where Ira and Lee will be hanging out with Justin Pawlowski.
It's a free event.
The Stick Carriers, it's free. All the details are at fanretreat.com. They're even going to have a couple of drink specials there and some giveaways. Really exciting stuff to bond fans together. And, of course, you can get your whole retreat, your flights, your hotels. There's a discount hotel. I haven't checked to see if it's sold out yet, but it was very close.
Well, my wife bought a Buck jersey online yesterday.
Wow.
To wear at this thing. You imagine that?
Well,
wow. She's going to have
proud.
The Sage shirt. She'll have a Buck shirt.
Wait a minute. Whose jersey did she buy?
Mike Evans.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You should get that thing autographed for the missus.
You know, she's got good run after the catch, my wife. By the way, do you realize the Kemper's leaving in a week? He's leaving in a week for New Orleans. 1 week. Unbelievable.
I was expecting the crowd to start filing in on Friday, and apparently that's not the case.
You've got to be ahead of the crowd over there, Lee.
Real quick one. You celebrated a solemn anniversary this week on Twitter with the death of Stevie Ray Vaughan. Guess what yesterday, you brought up the Rays. Guess what yesterday was the anniversary of? One of the most famous transactions in Rays history.
Wait a minute. Has it got anything to do with Robert Ayers? No. all right, what was it, Lee?
Mr. Kazmir was traded.
Oh, Scott Kazmir.
I remember I was all pissed off.
There's some Rays fans who are still bitter about that on Twitter.
Yeah, they mailed through in the towel in September when they still were
wild card chase, yeah.
Like 6 games out. Terrible. All right, enough of that,
yes.
Sage. FanRetreat.com. Get there. Click on Popular Retreats. Get used to going to FanRetreat.com. Now, I will say this about your Kappa prediction. It's a very safe and strong prediction to expect DeMar Dotson to be injured at some point this season. He's missed, I think, 18 games in the last 3 years, so that's a very safe bet. So I'll give you props on that.
But like I said, Benenac's got the experience at right tackle playing the last 5 games
Even Wester's got more experience there. You know, Lidke, like I said, look, he's not supposed to be a tackle, and he put him out on Ziggy Ansah. He didn't embarrass himself.
Right.
All right, Ira, next is our season predictions. Season predictions. Now, you're going to go first and give us your sage wisdom and thoughts and all of this observation. Now, I have to say, just as a precursor here, and we're not going to give anything away because you're next, but if Lee's predicting a 20th or worse defense and Jameis in the Pro Bowl, I can't wait to hear what his season prediction is. It's going to be very interesting. All right, go ahead.
All right, I'm walking a tightrope, Lee. I'm going 8-8. I'm going 8-8, but I feel incumbent to say this. That's not good enough. That's not good enough before Buck fans. I don't want to hear it. Ooh, that's a 3-game improvement. Ooh, I don't want to hear it. I think you got to aim higher. That's too low a bar.
So you're also
you're beating Las Vegas's prediction. Yeah. Is that good enough for Buck fans?
So what are you suggesting? I think I know what you're suggesting.
I'm saying they're going to go 8-8, and I'm going to say that's not good enough. In my opinion,
meaning,
that's not good enough.
Meaning?
There's got to be some serious changes if that happens.
That's what I thought you were meaning.
I think this is a talented team. I think it's the most talented team since Gruden departed.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's a, you know, and that's the lost decade. So start a new decade with a winning season. You've already proven you can go 9-7, Mr. Cutter. This is a better team.
With no receiving core at the time.
I'm going with 8-8 because I think their lack of depth in some spots, and I'm not talking about wide receivers and tight ends and defensive line, but some, like the secondary. Steve says Brent Grimes might struggle this year. And you can't rely on two rookie cornerbacks to both make a significant impact. And I don't know about Hargraves. So 8-8, Lee, it sounds good on paper. You're in the toughest division in football. But you know what? It's probably going to put you in the division basement again. Get out of the damn basement, DeKemper.
Buccaneers Cove.
You're up, baby.
Now, I have to point something out here. What I predict and what I hope for are two thoroughly different, completely separate things.
That's right.
One I'm using my heart. One I'm using what I think is my head, but I don't know. Yeah, I kind of hinted a while ago, but the defense will be no better than 20th in the league. I think Jameis will have a hell of a year when he returns. I don't think the Bucs can recover from that. Like you articulated, Ira, I do not believe banking on rookie cornerbacks, especially with this history of this defensive coaching staff. I think the secondary is going to get lit up. Defensive line is going to be much better, but it won't matter. Guys are going to be open, and therefore I see the Bucs going in. Of course, the division as tough as can be, 7-9.
Shouldn't the defense, Steve, be better than 20th with a front seven like that? What's wrong with the front seven? I understand why Lee's got significant questions about the secondary, but is there a problem with the front seven, especially if Beckwith comes back after a month into the season? That's a pretty good front seven, isn't it?
I'm not counting on Beckwith too much, but I understand what you're saying, Ira. But you know what? We're starting at rock bottom, 32nd. So if they move up to 21st, that's a big difference. You have to question the coaching, any coaching that leads you to...
At that point, I would question the coaching.
Well, at any coaching staff that leads you to 32nd in the league, you got to start pointing fingers and shining spotlights. I think Branson Buckner is going to have an effect. I think they'll be better. I don't know about 20th, but...
Are they going to be able to get off the field, unlike last season, the defense?
Look, they were 32nd in the league on third down. They got to be better. I think they'll be better. Are they going to be first again? Like they were 2 years ago. That was what that defense was all about.
Can you go from 1 to 32 and back to 1? Lee, is it possible?
If you do that, you better start getting a bus ready in Canton. That's that's like Vince Lombardi.
Boy,
that'd
really be something.
It would have to be an NFL record at that point.
You'd settle for 10. Forget 1. You'd settle for 10. Go up to 10.
Yeah, nice. On third down, 15th. I mean, I'm not settling for anything. I want the team to do well. Just like Lee said. I mean, look, if Vea's the right pick, if Jason Light didn't screw up, let's just be real here. Vea's going to play well, probably starting in mid-October. Second half, he's going to come on as at least a run stuffer and an impact guy that, you know, creates more havoc in there for other guys to clean up. I'm not expecting him to be a Pro Bowler, but he'll look pretty good. And they'll have a pass rush, and they have these linebackers. You know, David and Alexander, both of these guys have battled nagging issues, injury issues. You know, it's real. You know, so I don't know what the depth looks like. Beckwith hasn't played yet, so the depth is called into question. Not the most popular thing that people sit around and think about on the couch at night. But Lavonne David, he came out of last season and into this season saying, you know, my shoulders were so darn worn out that I needed to do some special workouts this year just to strengthen my shoulders to get him through a regular season. I don't just rub that stuff off as mindless chatter. This is a guy...
You're saying it's apt to happen again.
It is apt to happen again. So... I don't know, but they should be a lot better. Now, I'm not going to go into a ton of detail on my prediction, Ira. I said on my podcast that I think if they start 1-3, they go 7-9. And that's a disaster of a season for the talent level on this team. I think if they start 1-3, they go 7-9. But I think if they start 2-2 and they get themselves to 3-3.
And now Winston's playing.
Which means all you got to do is, if you get to 2-2, all you got to do is beat the Browns at home to be 3-3. Then I think they go 9-7. I think if they can start well, they'll be past a lot of these issues and get back to where they were. So it's a weird prediction, 7-9 or 9-7. Do I lean toward the 7-9? Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I do. Because I think 1-3 is most likely. But I hate saying it, and I think if they can find a way to 2-2, they'll go 9-7. What do you think, Sage?
So you don't you're worried about the Chicago game too at this
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. 10th ranked defense in the league last year.
They run the ball pretty well.
They got their coordinator back. They've got a fresh look there.
You worried about Mitch Trubisky?
And you know what?
Does he scare you? Trubisky?
Look, Dirk Cutter's telling everybody and his brother that, hey, we were 3-7 in one score games last year, so we're right there. Well, you know what? Chicago's got a better defense than you do. And they were I think they were 2-6 in one score game. So why? And they were 5-11 too.
Nice
so,
research. Nice research.
Know, they're a good team. As far as they
not,
have,
not a buck. The Bucs should have a significant edge at quarterback.
They're a good team to the level of
when he plays.
I'm just saying Chicago's good enough to win games at home, and that's probably a toss-up game. And I'm concerned about Jameis coming back if he jumps in the lineup at 1-2. I mean, we saw this preseason that he threw a stupid pass. He's going to come back so amped up and hyped up, and the fans are going to love it, and he's going to be going wild. Jameis back from 3 weeks on the couch. Here comes he on the horse, but he's primed to throw a couple of picks, and that can cost you.
Steve, in the unappetizing event that they start 0-3, are you predicting the wheels totally fall off? In other words, like a 4-12? Is that what?
Come on, Ira. If they start 0-3, it means they're a bad football team. And I would expect a bad football team to play the next 13 games at 5-8, and there you have a crap season and blow it up. That's just me. But it's odd, though, and Rondé Barber, Ira, he jumped on CBS Sports Radio for a Buccaneers preview with Tiki Barber. And Rondé Barber was adamant that he doesn't see much of a drop-off to Ryan Fitzpatrick from Jameis.
Well, what the hell does that tell you?
What's going
Lee,
on?
What's going on here, Lee?
Perhaps that Barber doesn't know what he's talking about with quarterbacks. Hate to say that, but I mean, I'm sorry.
I mean, Fitzpatrick is what he is, Lee. He is what he is. He's not going to drink from the fountain of youth here. He can win you one or two of those first three games if the defense plays
well. The Bucs
just
have to hope he steals a win.
To make it a little more clear what Barber said, his feeling was looking at those first three games without Jameis, that, you know, if Jameis is there, are they really going to win one more game than Fitzpatrick? He doesn't see a big difference in what Jameis can give you in the first three versus a healthy, not worn down yet Fitzpatrick.
Lee,
but what does that say?
Lee, you might have to win a shootout in week one. You might have to win that game 30-27. Do you trust Fitzpatrick to put up 30 points?
There's a reason why Fitzpatrick's been on, what, 8 teams? In his career.
And there's a reason nobody considered him for a number one job. That's the reason he signed with the Bucs.
Thank you, as a backup. Yeah, thank you. I mean, come on.
That's
radio hyperbole is what that is.
You think it's more of a reflection on Rondé's confidence in Fitzpatrick or his qualms about Winston? I mean, that's a fair question.
It smells like shtick to me.
Yeah, I don't think it was shtick, but I think it smelled to me like Barber's looking at the league. He's already starting his study for, his Fox broadcasts, and he thinks Philly, Saints, and
Pittsburgh
are just that much better than the Bucs.
Now, look, here's something that we might get into next week as we advance the Saints game, but I'll throw it out here.
Man, we got the gods angry
at
us.
Yeah, the gods are angry. Just for a minute. Lee, we're in the prediction business today, and we're all doing it.
What kind of income is that?
I got one more for you. Which of these three games do the Bucs have the best chance to win? Which of the first three?
Philly.
Steve, I happen to agree with the Kemper. Philly.
I'm going to say the Saints because those games are always tight. Cutter seems to know how to get his team ready for opening day. He's won two in a row.
Saints don't start well.
Saints are on this home losing streak. They don't start well. And the Bucs just beat the Saints. So this mentally weak Bucs team is, in my opinion, mentally weak. They are coming in with confidence. Nobody's going to think, well, we can't beat the Saints. So I think it's opening day. And if they lose opening day, then I think they might have too much pressure on them for this Eagles game. But I still think they can beat the Eagles, too.
Not a good summer for the Eagles, Lee. Just, it doesn't feel like a good vibe.
No, there's always a Super Bowl hangover because, and maybe a lot of people don't recognize this, or maybe I'm just way off base, but they're playing through February or until February. And then you got all the distractions. You know, people talk about Hard Knocks. Well, imagine having a Super Bowl parade. What kind of distractions is that?
Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
kissing your rear end, especially in Philadelphia, where this was like, you know, a godsend, a Super Bowl. They have had their rear ends kissed all year long so much, had to pull out chapstick. Philly's got a – yeah, it's not been a great offseason on top of the injuries. Now Wentz isn't going to be available. Now
Michael Bennett.
Well, don't get me going. Alshon Jeffrey.
He's got into some issues. We'll see where they go.
Alshon Jeffrey,
right.
He's going to play. Now, I do agree with Steve that the Saints are ripe to be beaten in the sense that they don't start out very well in their home crib.
They're going to be 9 or 10 point favorites, guys.
And
going to be a big favorite.
And I'm sure the Saints were a big favorite a couple years ago when the Bucs were coming off that Tennessee Reddick game. Sorry, Bucs fans, to remind you of that. And rookie Jameis Winston, his first road game, and he beat him. With a lesser team. The Bucs were a lesser team then.
Hey,
I think we can all agree on that.
Steve, I want to clarify one point.
Please, clarify.
Going into the week one, I think I've said on the podcast that we were talking about left tackle and it could be Litke if Smith's not there. I say he's going to get a face full of Cameron Jordan. Well, you know, I could make a mistake too. And Cam Jordan comes off the left side. He's one of those rare Pro Bowl pass rushers that come off the left side like a Julius Peppers. Most of them are the right ends. That would mean DeMar Dotson gets a face full of Cam Jordan. I'm not sure Dotson's 100% right now. That could be a problem.
Well, to be fair, doubly fair, we'll flip the fairness. Jordan does move around, but yeah, he is more of a left side guy. But you know what? If Litke's there, maybe they move him to the
right side.
So
you're right.
We don't know. Two things about the Saints. I think that no Mark Ingram is a big deal. That's their number one rusher, their number one touchdown guy. And Kamara has not proven that he can carry the ball 16, 18 times a game. So
I think Ingram rushed for 12 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he was their number one guy. Everybody talks about Kamara in the passing game, and that's where, you know, and he was good, great in the running game, but very limited carries per game, 8-9 carries. Tony Dungy, when he was on with Mike Florio last week, talked about the Super Bowl hangover, and he talked about how he doesn't like the Eagles this year as a team in general. He doesn't like the changes, and he talked about how difficult that Super Bowl hangover is. And as a Super Bowl coach, he's talked to other coaches about it, and he believes it's real. And
is there a reason the team hasn't repeated since the Patriots like 14 years ago? That's a long time.
I'll say it again. These guys are playing through or until February. That's a long season. Your recovery window is short.
That's right.
So,
quick moment of thanks for our great friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Open Labor Day. Great day to go car shopping on Labor Day.
Don't forget, we want more comments for the podcast too, Steve. Good or bad, we want them.
Good or bad comments, iTunes, Podbean, you can leave a comment there. You can't do it at Google Play, Ira. All the people who love you are obviously at Google Play driving your numbers up. So that's how that goes.
Ira's in a good mood. He's sitting there tapping the table and like he's at a scene from The Bronx Tale with his music behind us.
You know, I'm tapping out a rhythm from the Allman Brothers, 1971.
Oh, did you see what I sent you the other day?
Yes,
I did. Allman Brothers?
Yes, I did.
Your thoughts?
Beautiful thing, my friend. Beautiful
and,
thing.
And for people who don't know what I'm talking about, there was a video that Robin Mead put up on her Instagram account. Lovely Robin Mead of Headline News. She, if people don't know, she's also a singer. And she was singing Allman Brothers, Tie Me to the Whipping Post.
Can't you just see DeKemper thinking about her tied to the whipping post?
Isn't that I didn't go there.
That is a heck of an image.
To quote Ira Kaufman, never mind.
Never mind.
But that honestly did not cross my mind, Mr. Kaufman.
Actually, the Ira quote is, never mind that.
Never mind that.
My grandmother used to say
that. Well, that's a Mo Howard line, too, I think. Never mind that.
All right, what's going on, Mr. Isbitz? What's going on?
All right, Sage, look, there's a football game tonight. And a lot of fans do care about the bottom of the roster. So anything you're looking for tonight in this Bucs game, but more specifically, Ira, is it fair to assume that if a guy doesn't play tonight, like Caleb Benenach, does that mean he's locked up a starting job? Or if a Vernon Hargraves is sat, does that mean he's your starter? What are you looking at tonight?
Well, as far as those two specific guys, Benenach's not going anywhere. He's just not. They got investiture. He played five. He played five regular season games last year. Didn't grade out poorly, and the offense was better than when he wasn't in the lineup. You know, he doesn't have a serious injury. He's got a little niggling injury. As far as Hargraves, he's not going anywhere. They're not cutting a first round pick. who wasn't bad as a rookie and who struggled since. Lee, what are we looking at? We're looking at the sixth wide receiver who's going to step up. You know, we're looking at the last corner, the last safety. I'll be the first to say, God bless the fans that show up Thursday night, Lee. Those are the diehards.
Well, yeah, I've categorized this game as an AAF job fair. If Benlock and it's a very interesting question Steve brought up. My guess is if Benlock and Hargraves are not suiting up, they're on the team because they battled injuries during training camp. Hargraves with a hamstring, if I remember correctly, is that right?
Groin.
Well, that's even just as tricky as a hamstring.
Right.
So they need him. They need him next week, not this week. And Benlock, the offensive line just beat to hell. And, it's all about December in Cutter's eyes, not August. So
do they have a better option than Hargraves as far as the slot defender, a slot corner?
Well, not in their minds. Not in their minds. But, my question focused more on if we don't see a guy, does that mean he's a starter? Because really, unless you're protecting an injury, if you don't see him, that means he's got a job locked up because somebody's got to play in this fourth
game. Well,
you
might not see Evan Smith, and I hate to break this to you, Isbits, but that won't necessarily mean that Evan Smith's going to start at right guard, and that's going to cost you 20 scoots just for that occasion. But I understand your point, Steve. You can read certain things in about who's appearing, who's not, who's still got something to prove. We know the jobs that are open, and Lee, let's be honest. As far as starting jobs, there's not a lot left to determine. There really isn't. I think right guard is still a question.
Yeah.
I think it's still a question.
Hargraves is going to be on the field starting.
A lot of people are – I think this is a non-story that people are jumping on.
What?
This Godwin Deshaun Jackson, so-called controversy, who's going to start – I don't think that's a big deal. Deshaun Jackson is not going to be relegated, to 10 snaps a game. It's not going to happen. but if you don't start at left guard, you probably won't get into the game. You don't start at center, you don't get in the game when the games count. It's not that way with wide receiver. It's just not. A lot of times the Bucs are going to be in a 3 wide receiver set.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lose any sleep about this so-called Chris Godwin taking Deshaun Jackson's lunch. I don't see
who's fueling this.
The evil media. Who else?
Ira, I think it's been overlooked and something that we'll look at tonight in this game. Charles Sims is gone, and the Bucs didn't go out and sign a running back. And Sims had more snaps than any running back last year. Now, we know that Ronald Jones isn't much of a pass blocker. These guys, Sean Wilson or... the Dare, I forgot how to pronounce his last name.
You got Quiz Rogers.
So you've only got two guys who can pass block. And if somebody gets hurt, Quiz Rogers messes up his ankle. I don't know. Dirk Cutter's so nuts about having his running backs pass block. Maybe tonight, I think if we don't see these fringe guys, Wilson or the other guy, Dare, whatever his last name is, Ogunwale or whatever it is.
I think Wilson helped himself last week.
He did, but he can't pass block. And if he can't show that tonight, I don't think Cutter's going to mess with him. I think they'll go out and get a running back off the street who they know can pass block. I don't know. That's just me.
Lee, let's say it right now. We're not going to be surprised if the Bucs pick up a couple of guys after cutdown day.
I'd be very surprised, I'd be very surprised if they didn't pick up an offensive lineman, for example.
Maybe a veteran corner, perhaps.
Well, they should have taken care of that in February. I mean, Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I think that goes to tonight's game as well. If Ryan Smith looks brutal in all the snaps he's going to get, maybe that gets them thinking. But, the investiture thing, they believe in Ryan Smith can be a legit number 4 corner, and that's kind of what you're going to find on the street this time of year. So if he looks okay, I don't know. The running back thing is weird because there's no reason to believe Peyton Barber can carry the load 20-something times a game and play on third down. And
backs don't do that in this league.
Not anymore.
I'm going to ask you something here, and Steve just brought it up. If there is someone in the Bucs organization, whether it be an assistant coach, whether it be Mike Smith, whether it be higher up than that, that still doesn't or still can't figure out that Ryan Smith is not an answer at corner, Doesn't that speak to something is seriously wrong in that place?
I'm losing patience with Ryan Smith, Steve. I got to be honest. I'm losing patience with him.
Well, rightfully so. Everybody is.
You know.
But I mean, if someone really thinks that, you know, my mind isn't convinced that he can't play cornerback. I mean, if someone is really not conning people, I got to question their football acumen.
I will say this in his defense.
Great special teams.
When you got no pass rush, it certainly doesn't accentuate your skills as a cornerback. I understand that. But the year before, when the pass rush was fairly decent and the defense was fairly decent, Ryan Smith didn't show me much that year. So, you know, he better come on strong. I don't think he's getting cut. Neither do you.
Good special teams guy.
Good special teams guy, but I don't trust him against Michael Thomas in week one.
I wouldn't trust him against a lawn chair.
That's not a bad way to wrap it up over there, Steve.
All right, well, I wanted to tell you a couple things there. You're trying to get out of here early. What are you doing? This is the regular season form, Ira. I have been in touch. I did make the move. Cousin Bob went out to make the bets. Carolina more than to win more than 8.5. So Carolina in the over. And the under on the Eagles, which we had talked about previously.
Carolina's only 8.5?
Carolina was 8.5, yeah.
They won 11 games last year.
I'm just telling you how it is. You can't predict everybody to win 11 games. So,
Bovada.com, over and under, they have Peyton Barber at 550 yards.
Wow.
Wow. Is that before they saw Ronald Jones, or
It came out this morning, so I might just set up an account with Bovada.
That's 35 yards a game if he plays 16
That's Doug
games.
Martin material.
Woo.
That's not much. Ira's leaving. He's going to bet.
I didn't know Carolina was only 8.5.
Here's one for you, Ira. It's not necessarily wagering. I know you want to get out of here.
They still got a heck of a defense.
You want me to call Cousin Bob for you, Ira?
Call Cousin Brucey. Forget Cousin Bob.
And there's like six people listen to the podcast.
That's
right. Who Cousin Brucey
is. He's still on the air. He's still on Sirius.
He's still on the air. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, even Stern talks about him. Well, here's one for you. There was a crank call to Russo yesterday. Chris Russo. Mad Dog Radio, Sirius XM.
You're the only one who knew it was a crank call.
Because I recognized the voice. No, it wasn't me. And he's the same guy that called up Russo and asked if he ever interviewed anybody that batted against Babe Ruth.
Did they say he had a terrible voice, a shrill voice?
He did have a shrill voice.
Did he get the John Sterling treatment like
well,
I got?
No. But after he had made an outrageous statement that he hasn't. There's not enough Cowboys talk for him on national radio.
You know what? That's like saying LeBron James doesn't get talked enough about on ESPN.
Yeah,
that's what that's
like. So his follow-up question was, who's going to be the first NFL coach fired? This guy down in Tampa? Well, piggyback on that, rotoworld.com had a story. They pimped it out on Twitter, and it was about what coach will be the first one fired. Didn't mention Cutter, but has his picture on the Twitter. Well, you go to the actual story, there's a different picture. It's still Cutter, and the story didn't mention Cutter's name, but there again, they used the picture. So it seems like the casual football fans, I'm not saying Roto World's casual, but they're not down here in Tampa, so they're not the daily ins and outs of the team like all of us have or even our listeners have. The perception outside of Tampa is it's just a matter of weeks before Cutter gets fired.
Well, Steve, I'm going to say this very matter-of-factly. I don't want you to put this in quotes and throw a headline on it, which is your custom, but Steve, we all know the Glazers I've never fired a coach in the middle of a season. We all know that. You let him finish. Even poor Raheem in the midst of that 10-game losing streak. Let him finish. Steve, I'm going to say it. Cutter goes 0-3, and Winston's about to get back in the saddle. Cutter could go over the side. He could go over the side at 0-3. Yes, he could.
Whoa.
Yes, he could. Todd Monken could be the interim guy. Winston comes in. Let's see what the offense looks like under Monken and Winston. I don't think they're going to be 0-3, but that's serious bleeding. You cannot let it go on. I think Cutter would be in trouble at that point.
I totally disagree.
Totally disagree. You're the guy that says 0-3. You're toast in this league.
Well, that's facts.
Yeah, you know, you're toast and firing the coach are two different things, right? I just think at 0-3, Jameis is coming back. Let's see if he goes 1-3. Let's see what Dirk does after the bye. I don't think it would be that fast. I don't disagree that this might be the year that the Glazers, if they don't see what they want, they pull the trigger. I agree with you on that. I just think 3 games, I don't think we're there.
Lee, the stats say 0-3, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
All right, Ira, the stats say your podcast is incredible.
I'm not 0-3.
You're not 0-3. You got W's in your resume. All right, Sage, we appreciate it. How do you want to send fans out as we now stand 10 days from the season?
This is going to be a very intriguing season. I don't think they're going 0-3. I've written 5 columns about it. I've chastised Buck fans for thinking it. Even before the NFL suspended Winston, a lot of fans thought, oh, look at that schedule, 0-3. You can't think like that. Something Steve said in the middle of his podcast, I'd like to back it up. I'd like to amplify it. You're 0-3, you're not a good football team. You're not the team we think you are, and that's just the way it is. No excuses, Lee. This year, no excuses.